Acts chapter 2, verses 21 through 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What are the priorities of the Church of God? What are the things that are core to the things that we should be about and the most important aspects of our getting together as a church? We see here in these verses those priorities laid out. There are, as we'll get into them, four devotions, four things that the people were solidly committed to. But what you hear stringing through all of them, what you hear stringing through all of these verses is a repetition of something that laid at the very heart of their relationships. You could describe it as a love, but the words used here in these verses are the words that more tightly connect to unity, togetherness, fellowship. Who is it that's part of this early church? Who are the people who are involved? And who are they talking about? When Pentecost began, there were 120 believers, 120 people who were believing in Jesus after he ascended. That day, Peter gave his sermon, and from them, 3,000 people became believers in Jesus and were baptized. This group of people who are being talked about in these verses that we just read are over 3,000 new believers. They might have been familiar with Jesus a little bit, but they were not as deeply familiar as the 120 who'd already put their faith in him. These verses that we just read, this description of the early church, is a church that is new, a church that is beginning, but also a church that is devoted. As we get into these verses and these four things that are their devotions, let's pray and seek God's guidance as we do. Lord, as we look at this early description of your church, what the Spirit led them to do and what was important in their lives, we pray, Lord, that we might examine our own selves, that we might see how we are devoted and where we could be. Lord, watch over our hearts and minds today that we might be truly following you as the early church did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This opening verse, verse 42, describes four devotions. That word devoted, of course, means that they were committed to them. They were high on their priority list. Above all other things, these were the things that were essential and important. One thing you probably need to know that doesn't come across in the English version is this. Each one of these four items has the definite article. We would say the word the in front. They were committed to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The word prayers is plural in the original. That definite article indicates that they are each one a kind of a distinct thing, something important. They're not blended together with the thing next to them. They each kind of stand singularly and can be defined upon their own. The apostles' teaching was what the church had to go on, the things that they learned and the things that they had to follow, because they didn't have Christ with them anymore. Jesus had died for their sin, he had risen from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and he was no longer there physically teaching them as he had been for those 3 or 4 years. But the church also didn't have a New Testament to read either. The church didn't have the Gospels to read or the letters of Paul. They didn't have these things that they could put before them and they could read in black and white. And so what they had was the apostles' teaching. They had the apostles repeating and repeating and repeating the things that Jesus taught. The apostles were repeating those things and then explaining them and trying to let people understand how that applied to their daily lives, how it molded and shaped their faith, how it was going to give them the kind of strength and hope they needed for the days that they were facing. The apostles' teaching was what the people had in order to give them direction and hope in the word of God. And how Jesus' word, his death, his resurrection, was going to change things in their faith and relationship with the Lord. What was this new faith to be about? What was this new church to be about? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. We see the apostles mentioned again in verse 43, the repetition of that primary devotion from verse 42. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. One thing that is notable in Acts is the kind of miracles that the apostles were able to do. They brought people back from the dead. They healed. They did many of the same miracles that Jesus did. The early church was filled with awe and wonder because those people that Jesus called and designated as his representatives were doing the same miracles he had done. The second devotion is to the fellowship, that definite article. So many times when I try to describe what fellowship is about, I go back to the origin of the English word. But as I was reading and studying this past week, there was a comment about the original Greek, the word koinonia. Oftentimes, the word koinonia was described a way of describing a marriage relationship. When you're married to somebody, you share your life with them. You share your existence. You live in the same place. You share the same family. You have the same resources. Your life is built around and with that other person. When Luke is saying that they were devoted to the fellowship, they were devoted to one another like family is. Caring for one another as if the other person's needs were very vital and important to their own lives. Koinonia, fellowship, was about building their life together. Verse 44 continues to speak of this fellowship, speaking of the togetherness and the unity. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were together, unified. They had everything in common. Verse 45 goes into more detail about having those things in common. It says, they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. There are many people who look at these verses and descriptions and they would say that they practice some form of communism. But that is not what's going on in these verses. Communism is where the community owns the resources. The community owns the factories. The community owns the land. The community owns the things. But what you're seeing described here and what you see described in the rest of Acts is not the communal owning of property. You don't see the people living together in some sort of distant place where they all gather and own all of the land like a commune. What you see is people have personal property. They have things that are their own possessions, things that they've worked for, things that they own. They have this personal property, but what they have is a generous, open-handed generosity to those who are poor in their membership. People would sell their personal property, is what's described here, to help when someone else has need. When someone's struggling with food in our own congregation, people generously give, sometimes anonymously. When people are struggling with utility bills, we try to help them out when they're going through a difficult financial time. You see, these early believers were devoted to the fellowship, to one another. They were committed, such so that they saw that those who were in need and having great struggles also needed great help. The early church didn't own a building. They didn't own a property together as we have here in this building. What you see here described is not a common ownership, but an open-handed generosity to those in need. These people were a fellowship, sharing their lives together, like a family. Their unity, their togetherness, was of vital importance to them. We see at the first part of verse 46 that they got together every single day. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. The implication here is that they were gathering for prayer. They were gathering together typically after the workday, going in, having some time together at the temple courts, which was a huge facility. And they would gather together very often. Verse 46 ends by repeating that aspect of breaking bread that we heard about from verse 42. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. What is described in these words of breaking bread was the way that they did communion, the Lord's Supper, in the early church. They would get together in their homes, typically weekly, since you already heard a reference to daily getting together. They would gather weekly in their homes. And the way that the early church celebrated and had their worship was around a meal. They would sit around a table, kind of mimicking the Last Supper. And they would eat a meal together. And during the meal, they would take different pauses. And they would sing songs. They would remember Jesus' death on their behalf as they took bread that was broken and cup that was shared. They would teach about Jesus' parables or his statements or his miracles, and they would teach about what Jesus taught them so that they would exercise and encourage the faith of those who were hearing. The earliest worship services were held in homes. Those who were wealthy had larger homes and gathering spaces. The way their homes were built was to be able to entertain often. And so those large homes would have people gather. And the church of 3,000 people would split up and be in multiple homes for those worship services where the Lord's Supper was shared together. Luke describes those worship services and the people who were participating as doing so with glad and sincere hearts. That word sincere is one that we probably misunderstand. We often think that people are sincere whenever they're saying the truth, but that's not what the Bible means when it talks about sincere. It means more like undivided. That there is a unity, a single-mindedness. They were undivided in their hearts, in the way that they approached their lives. They weren't thinking one way one time and another another. There was unity even within their own individual selves. You might think of it as the word genuine. When gold is genuine, it is pure. It is unadulterated. It doesn't have fillers and other things in it. It's genuine. When the church gathered together and it was participating in its worship, the hearts of those who were there were undivided. Their hearts were one and united. The church gathered for worship, and it was sincere and genuine and glad. That fourth devotion, prayer, mentioned at the beginning, hinted at about being gathered at the temple complex, and then in verse 47, mentioned as praise to God. They were committed to praying. They were committed to talking to God and asking his intercession in their lives and in their world. They were committed to prayer. Because they were devoted to it, they repeatedly went before God and talked to him about all the things that were on their minds and hearts. These four devotions of being devoted to the apostles' teaching, being devoted to the fellowship of believers, being devoted to the breaking of bread and communion, being devoted to prayer, are hallmarks of what a Christian life is all about. Part of verse 47 speaks of the external relationships that they had as well, that they had the favor of all the people. That doesn't mean everybody had got along with them. It means that they weren't antagonistic towards non-believers, that they weren't fighting and arguing with outsiders, that they had a good reputation, that they were generally caring and friendly of other people. They had a good relationship with those who didn't agree with them. This kind of church and this kind of relationship is one that I think everyone would want to be a part of. And you could easily see these words of devotion, these aspects of their commitment, as being part of a love, a devotion. They loved Jesus' teaching and the apostles' word. They loved one another. They loved celebrating what Jesus did for them on the cross. And they loved their deep new relationship with God. This kind of love is unstoppable. An unstoppable kind of love. Woven throughout these verses is this aspect of togetherness and unity, that the people were all caring for one another. This love for one another rings so strongly and truly through these verses of Luke's. Consider how these same themes run through all of the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Those relationships with one another, that commitment to fellowship in the church, is of vital interest. Even Ephesians, where that church is such a hallmark of good quality, Paul still reminds them of the unity and fellowship that they need to have. Paul is not the only one concerned about how those relationships and fellowships with one another work. Peter, as he's writing his first letter, also says these words, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." Paul, as he's writing to one of the most divisive churches of all time, the Church of Corinth, his opening lines, his first sort of exhortation in 1 Corinthians are these words, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Not only is it his opening point of affirmation and encouragement for them, but it is actually his final point and encouragement in his second letter. His last words to the same church are, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration and encourage. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Their unity mattered. Their relationships with one another were vital importance in their relationship with God. John puts an incredibly fine point on this very same topic as he's writing his first letter. He says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin." This unstoppable love, this fellowship and connection that the early believers had, or is one that is encouraged by each of these writers, each of these gospel sharers. This New Testament is meant to encourage us to have fellowship with one another, unified thinking and agreeing with one another. It is an unstoppable love. We love one another. And it is a sign that we truly are the kind of people who are being saved. As we think about our devotion to these things, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, it's a chance to see ourselves in light of these early believers, led by the Spirit of God, so that they might have this unwavering faith. Where does your faith stand today? Let's pray. Lord, as we see these wonderful new believers and their great commitment to you, we pray, Lord, that our faith would not be shrinking back, nor would it be mute, but that it might be lived loudly, so that love might be seen, that fellowship might grow, that our devotion to your word might be visible, and that our love for what you've done for us and our love for you would be visible to all people. For Lord, we want you to add daily to those that are being saved. Lord, we pray that we model ourselves after this early church. We pray your blessing upon it, and upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.